bless you tonight. I thank you, Lord, for this opportunity to be in the house of God. Thank you for each and every person that's here tonight, Lord. You know our battles and our struggles. You know the issues of life that we're dealing with. And we ask, Lord, for your Holy Spirit to guide us, to instruct us and teach us. We ask, Lord, that you would have your way in our service tonight. I pray, God, for that anointing to preach and to teach as you desire. And Lord, we all ask for that anointing, that we can hear and receive everything that the Spirit of God is speaking this evening. And we ask it in Jesus' precious holy name. Everybody says, amen, amen. You know, one of the things that we're getting into tonight is such a need in our generation that Christ be evident in your life. You know, your family needs to see Jesus in you. Amen. Now, it's one thing, and I encourage you to wear a shirt that says Jesus on it, right? And it's a good thing if you grew like a long beard and you wore sandals like Jesus did. But when we're talking about the world needing to see Jesus in you, it's not just the word on the shirt or the sandals and the long hair and the beard, but the world needs to see not only a reflection, but the presence of God in your life. Amen? The world needs Jesus right now because we have so many people that are running out of hope, that are so depressed and in bondage of darkness. They're going through trials and tribulations and fears coming upon the world today like never before. The closer we get to the end days, we're going to see fear-mongering and war-mongering and pestilences and earthquakes and hopelessness rise like we've never seen before. There will be a day and an hour where everybody's going to give up hope unless they give in to the Antichrist. So we're headed towards troubled times. Amen. But what the world needs is Jesus. And I tell you what we have is not just a newspaper to hand somebody, but we are called to be a living witness. We're called to be a living epistle. We have a living Holy Spirit on the inside, and we serve a living God. And if you've been born again and filled with the Spirit of God, you've got something that the world needs. Amen? It's not just empty words. It's not a form of religion, but it's a living presence of God in your life. What the world needs around us, amen, is that we be filled with the Spirit of God. Amen. God has called you to not only describe the things of religion, to not only describe who Jesus is, but to demonstrate the power of the Holy Spirit in the world today. God has called us to be a living emissary, to be an ambassador for Christ Jesus in our world. Amen. How many of you know that what the world needs is not a lecture? The world doesn't need us to stand up and give a book report. Amen? We don't need to lecture people until they just pass out from all our words. We can go through 5,000 word essays and lecture them about this verb tense and this and that. But I'm telling you, God's called you to have a living walk of the Holy Spirit in your life. A living testimony. Amen? You see, a lot of people, they have a form of religion, but the Word of God says they don't know the power of it. They have a form of religion. There's a lot of people that know the outward extremities of the things of God, the things of faith. They know how to talk the talk. They don't know how to walk the walk. They know the words to say at the right time, at the right cue, but they don't have the power of God in their life to be the light in darkness. It's one thing to say, hey, we need a light in this dark place. But it's another thing if you got a flashlight and you flick that switch. And what a lot of people have is words. Flashlight, flashlight, flashlight. But they ain't a light. But what the world needs today is for you to actually be a light in these dark times. That's what the world needs. And in order for that to happen, it's got to be less about you and more about Jesus. Amen? Because I'm telling you, the world don't need me. And I love you, but the world don't need you. The world needs Jesus in you. The world needs Jesus in you. Amen. It needs to see the power of God in your life. And one of the things that we want to look at this evening in this message is the work that takes place in. Look at this passage in Matthew chapter 5, verse number 48. How many of you know a perfectionist? Well, that's not what this means. The word perfect in the Bible means fullness, completion, lacking nothing. How many of you would like to get to the point to where you're full, complete, lacking nothing? Amen. Look at this verse. It says in verse number 48, "Be ye therefore perfect, even as your Father which in heaven is perfect." In other words, there's a deposit that God in heaven places in the child of God, and it's a continual work. As long as you're alive in the flesh, you're always going to have a battle between the flesh and the spirit. Until your body gets buried and put six feet in the ground, you're going to have a battle between your flesh and the spirit. Amen? That's what the book of Galatians teaches us. But what God's called us to is to be perfect. That means to allow the Holy Spirit to have all the influence He desires to have in us, to do all that He needs to do in us. How many of you know that He's the potter? We're the clay. Amen? He's the one directing the boat. Amen? We just say, yes, sir. Yes, sir. But we have to come to that place to where we're allowing the Spirit of God to have complete and utter influence over our lives. And if He puts His hand on something or puts caution over here or no over there, we just say yes to those things. God's looking for us to be in subjection to the Spirit of God. God's looking for, look, before the world can get into subjection to the Spirit of God, He needs you to get into subjection to the Spirit of God. If God can get you to be in subjection to the Spirit of God, He can start using you to get the world in subjection to the Spirit of God. Amen. A lot of people, they say, man, Pastor, what you talking about? A lot of people, they will follow God up to a certain point whenever God puts His fingers on certain issues. Amen. Oh, yes, it's always good to worship the Lord in the sanctuary when everybody's clapping, but what about whenever God says, forgive your enemies? To love your enemies, to pray for the people that despitefully use you. What about whenever Jesus says, turn the other cheek? What about those passages? And it's like, man, we all are clapping and shouting for glory until we come up to passages like that because you don't understand what they did to me. You don't understand what they did to me. Well, God understands what they did to you, and God's asking if He can have you. God's asking if He can have you, if He can have complete and utter influence over your life. If you'll be used by God, or if you want to put your hands up and say, no, I've had enough. I'm not willing to be perfected any further. Amen. How many of you are satisfied where you're at with God? Amen. We should be ever increasing, not only in faith, but we should be ever increasing in our walk in the depth of God, that we know God. Amen. And the influence of God on our lives. Amen. So the Word of God here, Jesus, and this is red letters. I want you to see that. This is not some obscure passage. This is from the words of Jesus Himself. And He's calling on you to be perfect. And I want to ask you right now, amen, if Jesus is... Well, He's asking you, but He's actually commanding you. If He's commanding us to be perfect, then that shows you that there has to be an inward work from this point right now until the day we die. There has to be a continual perfecting of the Spirit of God in us. Amen? None of us have arrived. Come on, somebody. We haven't got there yet. Amen. We're supposed to strive for the things ahead, forgetting the things that behind, and reaching forth for the prize of the high calling of Christ Jesus. So He says here to be perfect. And one of the things I wanted to bring out in this is God has come and He's calling on you to get into a place to where you're lacking nothing. To where you're lacking nothing. The only way that you can get into a place to where you're lacking nothing is when you're walking in the fullness of the Holy Spirit. If you're walking in the fullness of the Holy Spirit, you will lack nothing. You will be fit for the work at hand. If you've got pressure on the job, the Holy Spirit will give you the equipment to deal with the pressure at job. If you've got pressure at home, the Holy Ghost will equip you and fit you for the work to deal with the pressure at home. If you see fear going on in the world and you're lacking nothing, the Holy Ghost will give you the courage and the boldness to know beyond a shadow of a doubt that this thing belongs to the Lord. You will be lacking nothing as long as you're walking in the fullness of the Spirit of God. But if you're ever not walking in the fullness of the Spirit of God, you're leaning on the flesh. Amen. And if you're leaning on the flesh, then you're trying to handle situations in your own strength. And you know what? Some of these situations, the enemy has designed these things because he studied you. Amen. The enemy's been around longer than you. He's wise. He's a serpent. The Word of God says he's shrewd. He's wise. And he's plotting. He conjures up these devilish, demonic plans to trip you up and to keep you away from being the child of God that God's called you to be. That's why sometimes out of the blue, you'll just get random situations that feel like that fork in the neck. You say, man, I thought I was going two steps forward, and now I'm going three steps back. I thought I was going ahead, and now I'm behind. And the reason for that is because the enemy knows how to lay these traps before us. But God has called you to be in a situation and in a place to where you're lacking nothing. And like I said, the way that we do that is to walk in the fullness of the Spirit. That way I'm not leaning on my own flesh. I'm not leaning on my own understanding, but I'm walking in the Spirit of God. Because there's battles that you're going to be facing in the days ahead, maybe even tonight. There's battles that you're going to be facing. You can't lean on your own understanding. You're not going to be able to figure it out with your own understanding. You're going to have to trust God and get discernment by the Holy Spirit. You're going to have to get the wisdom that comes from God above and not from the world below. And you're going to have to walk in the courage and confidence that God is with you and equipping you for that situation. Because inevitably, these trials and these situations have come to try you. And if you're not walking in the fullness of the Holy Spirit, they will not only try you, but they will sink you. I've seen the mighty fall. And it's heartbreaking. And sometimes I've seen the mighty fall from something that shouldn't have made them fall. But I mean, they get worn down, they get wearied out, and they finally get to that proverbial straw that broke the camel's back. How many of you know what I'm talking about? That's whenever you get trial after trial after trial after tribulation. And you say, you know what? That's the last time that you're going to tell me that. And what's happened is these people haven't been being perfected by God. They've been dealing with things in the flesh. And as you deal with things in the flesh, you have a limit. I've had it up to here with you. I've had it up to here with you. You know what God's long-suffering is like? It's not like that. God's long-suffering just suffers long. It just keeps on keeping on. God, the Spirit of God in you producing that fruit of the Spirit, long-suffering, is one of the most amazing things that God can do in a person's life. He gives you the ability to keep on keeping on regardless of how things are happening or not happening. He just gives you that ability to keep on going like the Energizer Bunny. That's what God does. But, you know, in our flesh, we can't get there. So one of the things I want to tell you about tonight is we need God. Turn with me to 2 Timothy chapter 3, and I'm going to show you this. 2 Timothy chapter number 3. We're going to go to verse number 16 and 17. 2 Timothy chapter 3, verse 16 and 17. What we need in our life is the Lord's help. When it comes to being perfected by the Spirit of God, what we don't need is Osteenism. You can't just smile your way through tragedy. You can't just look in the mirror and smile your way through a hard time. You need the actual, demonstrable, verifiable Spirit of God at work in you. Anything short of the fullness of the Spirit of God won't work. It won't work. It won't work. 2 Timothy chapter 3, verse number 16, it says, all Scripture, somebody say all Scripture. All Scripture, that's the Bible. All Scripture is given by inspiration of God and is profitable for doctrine, for reproof, for correction, for instruction in righteousness, that the man of God may be perfect, thoroughly furnished unto all good works. The Word of God has come to you to do a few things, not just to give you information. A lot of times people look at the Bible and they look at it as an information book. They look at it like the Encyclopedia Britannica. Some people look at it as a get-rich-quick book. They prostitute the gospel message and the Word of God. But the Word of God has come not to just give you information. The Word of God has come to transform your life, to transform you, to take you out of who you are right now and to transform you into who God wants you to be right now. The power of God uses the Spirit of God and the Word of God to transform the child of God into the man of God that you've been called to be. And God doesn't operate any other way. Look at what he says. It says the scriptures given by inspiration of God. That means it's God breathed. Many of you know everything God does is for a purpose. God never spoke one word carelessly. You know how we know that? Because Jesus said you're going to be judged by every word you speak. And if we're going to be judged by every word we speak, we know God never uttered one syllable unless it was perfect, inspired, and on purpose. So everything we have in the Bible, God breathed it for a purpose, for a perfect purpose in you. And that purpose, it shows you, it's profitable for doctrine. That shows you the parameters of what's holy and not holy. It's not up for your opinion or my opinion. Amen? Look, if God says anchovies is sinful, then anchovies is sinful. I mean, he doesn't say that, but I'm just saying. It's not about our opinion. Doctrine is set and established and breathed by God. If it's sin, it's sin. If it's not, it's not. If it's holy, it's holy. If it's not holy, it's not holy, no matter what you or I think about it. So when it comes to doctrine, doctrine comes from God, not from the church. The church doesn't have the right to make doctrine. The Pope doesn't have the right to make doctrine. The preacher don't have the right to make doctrine. Doctrine comes by the breath of God. It is inspired by the Spirit of God. And it has been written down, and it's not going to change no matter what generation you live in, and no matter who the Supreme Court says you can marry, and no matter what a doctor says he can do to your body. Doctrine has been set and established by God, and it's not going to change come hell or high water. God never changes. So it's set in stone. So I know where we can stand. And he says, not only did the Word of God come to bring you doctrine so that you know what's right and wrong, but he also came to reprove you, to correct you, and to instruct you in righteousness. The Word of God did not just come just to give you information about Jonah. He came to use that story to breathe something in you so that you would be reproved and corrected and instructed in how to live a righteous and holy life unto God. So everything that we read, everything that we study in the Word of God has come from heaven and has been breathed down into the pages of Scripture, and then the Holy Spirit takes those words and he implants them in your heart. And he does something. He begins to perfect you. He begins to mold you and make you into the man or the woman of God that he's called you to be. Listen, you're not where you need to be yet. None of us are. Paul said he's not arrived yet. Amen? And if Paul hadn't arrived yet, I don't think I have. Come on, somebody. Let's get real. But we strive. And there's a burning, there's a yearning to please God, to honor God, and to love God, and to draw near to God. And I'm telling you, what God wants you to know tonight is that the Word of God has come so that God can continue this process in your life. Don't tap out right now. Don't stop right now. This is a time to press in. What our world needs today is for you to be filled with the Spirit of God, used by the hand of God. Amen? And in order to do that, you're going to have to be continually perfected by the Word of God. Continually perfected by the Word of God. You may say, well, I just think this and I just think that. Well, just keep getting into the Word of God. Let the Word of God get in you and you'll start changing. You'll start changing. Amen. You know, there's a lot of things in my walk that God's corrected over time. Amen. I don't know about you. We don't want to put all your stuff out there, but you know, there's got to be things that God's corrected in your walk with him over time. He's got to have instructed you. And what I'm telling you tonight is, if he's corrected you in the past, if he's reproved you in the past and instructed you on a better way to live a holy life in the past, then don't think you got it all right now. Just let him continue doing what he does in you. Let him continue perfecting what he's doing in you. Let him take you higher. Let him take you deeper. Let him take you straighter. Amen. Let him take you on the path that he's got for you. Don't stop where you're at. I told you earlier, I've seen the mighty fall. And I've seen them fall from things that looked like a piece of straw that broke a camel's back. And it's just simply because they stopped allowing the Spirit of God to perfect them. They stopped. They stopped growing. They stopped loving. They stopped being correctable. They stopped being teachable. They stopped being humble. They stopped growing in the grace and the knowledge of Jesus. And when that happens, we're no longer being perfected. Now it says here that these things have come that the man, or you could say the woman, the man or woman of God, may be perfect, thoroughly furnished unto all good works. It means everything that God wants to do in you, he's going to do it through this standard that we're establishing here tonight. Everything God wants to do in your life is going to come through the Word of God and by the Spirit of God. And God's going to cause you to be more patient, more kind, more loving. He's going to cause you to be more forgiving. He's going to cause you to be holier. He's going to cause you to be bolder. He's going to cause you to walk the path that God's called you to walk. Amen? A lot of times people think that the Word of God has come to entertain us. A lot of people look at preachers as entertainers. Set a little hoop on fire. Let the preacher jump through it a few times. The preacher and the Word of God didn't come to entertain you. Amen. If the preacher and the Word of God has come to entertain you, then there's something's gone wrong. And I will submit to you, some things have gone wrong in America. But it's not past time that God can't correct it and get it on the right track. Amen. I don't know about you, but I believe as long as there's breath in something, there's hope. And even Sodom and Gomorrah, God was willing to spare if there would have been at least 10 righteous in that city. I believe there's more than 10 righteous in America. I don't know God's proportion. I don't know if there's got to be how many righteous people per square foot. If that's the case, we might be in trouble. But I know that God was willing to spare Sodom and Gomorrah, who tried to rape angels, if there would only be 10 righteous. But he couldn't find 10 righteous, so he yanked out the church. He yanked out the righteous, and then he brought down the judgment. That's what he did. So we see here that God's desire is to do a work of perfection in our life. And I told you that the Word of God didn't come just to entertain you. It's not here to just enrich you so that you have a better walk. A lot of times people look at the Word of God as enrichment. Oh, Pastor, that message just really made me feel good. I'll say, well, I'm glad it enriched you. I'm glad it enriched you. But you see, the Word of God didn't come to entertain you. It didn't come to enrich you. The Word of God came to empower you to live a righteous and a holy life that pleases God, because in our flesh we can't. But in the Spirit, we can. And the Spirit of God uses the Word of God by the anointing of God to do this perfection by God in your life. So he didn't come to entertain or enrich. He came to empower you to be what he's called you to be. If you can be what he's called you to be without the power of God, you've written a new one on God. God has called you to humble yourself, that God can do something in you. Now, it's not a foreign concept. Paul actually taught this. Turn with me. Let me show you this in Galatians chapter 4. Let me show you what he told the church in Galatians. Galatians 4, verse number. Let's start with verse number 19. God is looking to see that we continue to become more like Jesus. That's the goal. How many of you want to be like Jesus? That's the goal. And God's desire is that you continue this process to be more like Jesus every day. To be more like Jesus every day. It says in verse number 19, Paul said this. He said, "My little children, of whom I travail in birth again until Christ be formed in you." I'm going to stop right there, but I want you to see that Paul prayed and travailed for the church. He's not talking about the heathen. He's not talking about the world. He's not talking about the people out in, you know, out yonder. He's talking to the church, and he said he's praying and travailing in the Spirit that Christ be formed in these people. See, that's a birthing process that takes place on the inside. Now, you don't become Jesus. You don't become Jesus. You don't become Jesus. But Christ formed in you means the Spirit of God alive in you, growing in you, having more influence in your life, that the Spirit of God is reflecting Jesus through you. And you can't do that in your own strength, right? God is calling you to this place to where Christ be formed in you, to where your entire self, your entire vessel, your entire mind, soul, and spirit be in subjection to the Spirit of God. That God can use you. That God can work through you. You know, there's a lot of people in the world today that need a little bit of Jesus. Need a lot of Jesus. There's a lot of people today that could use some light for their dark world. Amen. And what I'm telling you tonight is, if you're relying on your flesh and you're not growing in the grace of God, if you're not growing in the Spirit of God, if you're not continuing being perfected by the Spirit of God, then the desire that God has for you is not going to be evident, because people are going to see you and not Jesus in you. They're going to see you and not Jesus in you. Now, this passage here is pretty important, because it shows you that there's a work, a continual work that needs to take place even in the church folks. The church folks need Jesus just as much as the world do. Now, we don't got to get saved, but we need Jesus. Amen. I don't know about you, but I need Jesus when I wake up on Monday morning. Amen. You know, sometimes there's some people that they're Monday morning people. They're just bright up and early. Happy Monday. I need Jesus before I get up on Monday. Amen. I love Smith Wigglesworth. He said he used to pray in the Holy Ghost until he prayed himself happy before he put his feet on the floor. Every morning. Every morning. He would lay in his bed and he would pray until he prayed himself happy. And then he would put his feet on the floor. You know, some of us need to get into that practice, to where we just pray and we seek God until Christ be formed in us afresh. And then go deal with your problems, because you'll deal with them in a different way than you do in the flesh. Amen. In the flesh, you want to take a skillet or a cast iron skillet and bop somebody on the head. But you know, you can do more on your knees in prayer than you can with a cast iron skillet. You can do more if you'll lift that person up, and you can. How many of you know that you can be nag somebody? You can nag them. You know what you need to do. 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 You know what you need. And all the time you think that you're helping God by nagging these people. You need to go to church. 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 You need to do this. You need to dress right. You need to talk right. You need to do this. You need to do that. You know, I heard all that my whole life until I got saved. You need to stop drinking. You need to stop smoking. You need to stop doing this. You need to stop doing that. You need to do this. You need to do that. But you know what I really needed? I needed someone to pray. I needed someone to pray, pray, pray. And eventually God opened the eyes of my heart, and I realized I was a lost sinner on the way to hell. And then at that point, nobody had to tell me I needed to stop doing anything. Amen. I was ready to give up everything that wasn't Jesus. But what people need is they need us to work these things by the Spirit and not by the flesh. And a lot of times, if Christ isn't being formed in you, you'll start handling your problems in the flesh. You'll start nagging people. You'll nag them to death. Because it's not an outward thing that has to take place. You know, that was a problem with the Catholic Church back in the Dark Ages. they would put a knife to somebody's throat, you know, pray to Mary, or reject the Anabaptist view. They would make them by sword convert to the Catholic Church. You can't convert somebody by the sword. I mean, if they wanted to hang on to their life, they'd say, okay, I convert. But they didn't get converted on the inside. That's just empty words they said on the outside. And you see, it's the same way. If you begin to handle your problems and you begin to handle the situations that we're dealing with in the world today in the flesh, not by Christ being formed in you, but in the flesh, you'll begin to nag these problems. You'll begin to complain about politicians. You'll begin to complain about your spouse. You'll begin to complain about your workplace environment. You'll begin to complain about your boss. You'll begin to complain about everything under the sun. But if you'll get to that place to where Christ be truly formed in you, then what'll happen is you'll begin to deal with it spiritually. And there are times spiritually you go tell somebody something. You know, thus saith the Lord. Boom, boom, boom. But I tell you what I found in my walk with God, a lot of times God wants me to handle my problems on my knees. God wants me to take those problems to Him in prayer. He wants me to lift them up. He wants me to pray over their life. He wants me to fast. He wants me to pray. He wants me to seek His face over their life. And what God does a lot of times is, as I'm praying for them, God gives me more strength and more ability to endure the situation while He's working on them. Amen. It's not popular. It's not popular, is it? Oh, and let me get some Joel Osteen up in here. Hang on. Let me change course. No, what we need is the Spirit of God to change us from the inside. I know that everybody wants to take a cast iron skillet and whop somebody on the head and have the situation changed immediately. But what we need in our generation is men and women that are born by the Spirit of God, that are walking in the fullness of the Spirit of God and leaning on God for change. Amen. You will change the world on our knees. The church of God will change the world on its knees. What our world today doesn't need is the church of God to go out with cast iron skillets and beat all these people up. Take the Republicans, I'll take the Democrats, right? We'll beat them all up. That's not going to change anything. You can't change people through the outward. The only way that something can be changed is through the inward. Now turn with me to Psalm 138. Let's go over to Psalm 138. And we're going to go to verses 6, 7, and 8. Psalm 138, verses 6, 7, and 8. Well, here you see a problem. Because there's some folks that just simply won't humble themselves before God. And if you're not willing to humble yourself before God, you're going to have a hard time seeing the work of God in your life. God works when people humble themselves. The proud in heart, the proud person, has a very hard time seeing the hand of God at work. Because God always, always, always resists the proud. God has always resisted the proud, and He always will. God has called you to humble yourself. And, you know, you see that in the incarnation of Jesus. You see that God humbled Himself when he incarnated into flesh. And look at this in verse number 6. It says, though the Lord be high, yet has He respect unto the lowly. But the proud He knoweth afar off. That's the Word of God's way of saying when you humble yourself and you're willing to sit at the Master's feet, when you're willing to be corrected and be taught, and you're willing to be in subjection to the Spirit of God, God draws near. Even though He's high, He'll come down to where you are. He'll come down to where you are. But the proud, He knows at a distance. Amen. I don't know about you, but when I need God in my life, I don't want Him to know me from a distance. I don't want God to know me at a distance. I don't want that letter to get lost in mail because I'm at such a distance from God. But you see, God's not so far gone that he can't hear us or can't see us or can't touch us. It's that our sins have separated us from him, and pride is a sin. And if we stay in pride, we're not going to see the work of God in our life. Look at this. It says that the proud he knows afar off, though I walk in the midst of trouble. How many of you know what I'm talking about? Though I walk in the midst of trouble. You got trouble in your life? Raise your hand if you don't have trouble. Look at all the hands raised. Hallelujah. He said, though I walk in the midst of trouble, thou wilt revive me. Thou shalt stretch forth thine hand against the wrath of my enemies, and thy right hand shall save me. Look at this. The Lord will perfect that which concerneth me. Thy mercy, O Lord, endureth forever. Forsake not the works of thine own hands. I want you to look at this last part, because there's things that you need from God that I may not need. There's things that I need from God that you may not need. But you know, God is a personal God. And if you'll humble yourself before God, look at what it says. It says, God will perfect that which concerns you. God understands what you're going through. God understands your trials. He understands your temptations. He understands your fears, your doubts, your insecurities. He understands your challenges. And the Word of God here says that God will perfect that which concerns you. He will, in other words, the Holy Spirit will personalize His work. Amen. God is not, it's not one size fits all. Amen. God will fit this thing personally to you, because He knows you. He knows what's going on in your heart. He knows what's gone on in your past, and He knows what you need right now. How many of you have been at that point in your life when, and it's not a good place to be in, when you go to the fridge, you open the door and you're looking for food, but you're really not hungry and you're just looking. You want something, but you really don't know what you want. Amen? How many of you have been there? Be honest. You want something, you just don't know what you want. Can I tell you something? That's how it is in the Spirit. See, in and of our own selves, we think we know what we need. I just need $100,000. That's all I need. I just need a spouse. That's all I need. I just need a child. That's all I need. I need a better job. That's all. I need a better car. That's all I need. You think you know what you need. Amen? How many of you know, just like a child thinks that they know what they need? They don't know what they need. A kid may think, I really, really, really need to bring this animal into the house. No, you don't need to do that, because you're going to get in trouble. But as you can see that from a parent to a child situation, the child thinks that it knows what it needs, but the parent knows what it really needs. The kid thinks it wants ice cream, can live off ice cream. The parent knows he needs broccoli and carrots. Amen? Well, when it comes to the things of the Spirit, we think we know what we need. We're like that person that's at the fridge. We know we need something. We're just trying to figure it out. The Spirit of God here says that God will perfect that which concerns you as long as you'll humble yourself. If you'll just get on your knees and cry out to God and say, Lord, I need you. I'm willing to be taught. I'm willing to be instructed. I'm willing to be reproved. I'm willing to be subjected to the influence of your Spirit. I'm willing to go where you say to go and do what you say to do. I'm willing, Lord. And when you subject yourself like that, the Word of God here says that when you make yourself low before God, that He then, at that moment, will perfect the things concerning you. There's things that God's done in my life I didn't even know I needed. Amen? How many of you know that Paul didn't know he needed a thorn in the flesh? I mean, Paul's just happy-go, apostle to the Gentiles, writing scripture left and right. Paul's just healing folks, casting out demons, preaching the gospel, and all of a sudden, he didn't even know he needed a thorn in the flesh, but all of a sudden, he got a thorn in the flesh. And whenever he was going out and this thorn in the flesh comes up, he starts praying that God delivers him from this thorn in the flesh. But you remember what God said? He said, I asked God three times to deliver me from this thorn in the flesh. But God said no. Because that thorn in the flesh was keeping him humble. It was keeping him weak. And Jesus said, when you're weak, then he shows himself strong. And that thorn in the flesh, Paul never asked for it, and you would never ask for it. But God brought it because God knows better. Amen? And Paul, on the backside, was a better man of God, was a deeper man of God, was more full of the Spirit of God, was walking in the fullness of the Spirit of God with that thing than he would have without it. Because without it, who knows where he could have been. But God knows him, just like a parent knows. You know, you may not like the way these broccoli and carrots taste, but you need it. And in the same way, Father God, Abba Father, he knows when you need a thorn in the flesh. Now, don't look at your spouse, right? I'm not talking about that. But God knows when you need things. God knows when you need these things. And God uses these things to perfect you, to make you a more full, on fire, equipped child of God. You may, you in the natural, you may be, you know, just like that dense person standing in front of the fridge. I don't know what I need, but I need something. I'm just looking. But God, he's not bewildered. He knows exactly what you need. He knows exactly what you need. And you may be saying, I don't need a thorn in the flesh. I don't need a trial. I don't need a tribulation. I don't need a hardship. You don't know what I've been through. Your Father God knows you better than you. And if you'll stay low, that one that's high will come down to where you are. If you'll stay low, listen to me. If you'll stay low, that one who is high will come down to where you are. And he will perfect you. That's the challenge. That's the challenge. So God here is telling you that you need this for your growth. You need this perfection. You need this spiritual transformation. God can do in you and through you what you cannot do in the natural. God knows what you need and when you need it. And the spiritual transformation that comes by the Spirit of God comes as God wills. As you stay in this low place with God. Now, he, you know, we can only see on the outer, but God sees in the inner. God sees past the words. He sees past the way that we dress. He sees past the smile on your face, and he knows exactly what's going on in you. And he knows how to perfect you. He knows how to, now again, for our subject tonight, for this message tonight, the word perfect means lack nothing. Means lacking nothing. God knows how to get you to the place to where you are lacking nothing. Amen. I tell you what, that's one of the greatest things I've ever found as I've grown in my walk with God is, you know what? If you've got God, you got everything. I love to share this. You know, one of my favorite testimonies from preaching in the prison is whenever I was talking to someone and they said, Pastor, I never knew that Jesus was all that I needed until Jesus was all that I had. And, you know, that's the reality of the matter, that we're supposed to live like that. Jesus is all that you need. And, you know, hopefully we don't have to get to the point to where Jesus is all that we have. But if he has to, he will. He had to bring Jonah all the way down into the belly of that whale, living in the seaweed of the belly of that fish, before Jonah realized, it's time for me to do what God wants. And hopefully we don't have to get to that point. Before we just then make ourselves low before God. Now, it says that the Lord will perfect that which concerns me. And I want you to know that if you're a child of God, that you're a blood-bought child of God, that God cares about you. God loves you. And God wants to supply the things that you need in your life. Turn with me to 1 Thessalonians chapter 1. 1 Thessalonians chapter 1. And we're going to go to verse 5 through 7. 1 Thessalonians chapter 1, verse 5 through 7. whenever we're talking about the work that God does in our life as we're subjected to the Spirit of God, that's when things get real. That's when true transformation takes place. You see, the work that God wants to do in you, you don't get out of an information book. You don't get out of a direction book. You don't get through going through a class. God doesn't transform you by a 12-step program. Okay, God transforms you by the Spirit of God. Amen? You don't get healed by a 12-step program. You don't get set free by a 12-step program. Amen? There's one step. You go to the cross and you submit yourself to the work of the Holy Spirit at the cross. And God does all that He needs to do. He'll take out what needs to get taken out. He'll change what needs to get changed. He'll supply what needs to be supplied. He'll heal what needs to be healed. He'll remove what needs to be removed. That's how God works. It's not a 12-step program. He's not a 12-step God. It's one call, Jesus. Amen? He says here in 1 Thessalonians 5, Paul said this. He said, "Our gospel came not unto you in word only, but also in power." So we're not talking about just information. God's not called you to just gain information so that you can reflect on it later. God's not called you to listen to an essay so that you can think on these things later. He said, "Our gospel came to you not in word only, but also in power and in the Holy Ghost, and in much assurance, as you know what manner of men we were among you for your sake. And you became followers of us and of the Lord, having received the word in much affliction with joy of the Holy Ghost, so that you were examples to all that believe in Macedonia and Achaia." I'm going to stop right there, but I want you to see that whenever Paul brought the gospel message, he wasn't just bringing empty words. He wasn't just trying to declare things. He was demonstrating things. It wasn't just about, "Paul, let me just regurgitate this. Let me just say this." But there was a power of God at work in your life. And I'm telling you tonight that if there's not a verifiable, demonstrable power of God at work in your life, you're not where God wants you to be. And if it's been a while since you felt the Spirit of God work in you, you need to make yourself low again. You need to let the Holy Spirit perfect you tonight. You need the work of God in your life, because you're not where you can be if you have not made yourself low and felt the Spirit of God work in your life. The gospel message is not just come to enrich you, to educate you, and to give you just something to think on. The Word of God comes with power, and the power being of the Holy Spirit, so that God can change you in a way that you naturally cannot change. So that God can supply things to you that you naturally cannot supply. So that God can do in you what you naturally cannot do for yourself. God can supply for a man or a woman who is willing to submit and humble themselves what the world cannot supply. God gives joy in the midst of sorrows. Amen? God heals what the world's diagnosed as death. Amen. God sets free what the demons have held captive for years. God cleanses what the world has said is dirty. Amen. God heals, God sets free, God cleanses, God delivers from the bondage and the power of the devil. But these things you can't do in your own. You can't set yourself free. You can't liberate your own self from the power of demons. You can't open blind eyes yourself. You can't heal the sick yourself. You need the verifiable, demonstrable power of God. And it doesn't come through just words. It comes through the Spirit of God. Now, I told you earlier, there's things that we need in our life, and we don't even know that we need them sometimes. And you see that so clearly and evidently in Paul's life. He had no idea that he needed that thorn in the flesh. I think at the beginning of it, if it was up to him, he wouldn't have wanted it. We know that because he asked three times that this thing be delivered. Amen? That God would remove it. But I want you to know tonight that the things that are going on in your life, God can use to perfect you. You may not like the things that are going on. You may not appreciate some of the challenges that you're facing. You may not enjoy where you're at in life right now. But God can use these things to make you who He wants you to be. Amen. God can use these things to make you who He wants you to be. And in the process of doing that, God can change other things. Let me close with that passage in 2 Corinthians. Turn with me over there to 2 Corinthians. It's not too far over. Second Corinthians chapter 12, verse 7. Paul said, this is after he was saying that he had visions. Everybody likes visions. You start telling people you had dreams and visions, they say, oh, you can sell some DVDs. Woo. Paul had this vision, and he didn't even talk about the vision. But he said in verse number 7, he said, lest I should be exalted above measure, through the abundance of revelations there was given to me a thorn in the flesh, the messenger of Satan to buffet me, lest I should be exalted above measure. For this thing I besought the Lord thrice, that it might depart from me. And he said unto me, my grace is sufficient for thee, for my strength is made perfect in weakness. My strength, I want you to hear that. God's strength is made perfect in weakness. As we humble ourselves, as we weaken our flesh before God, then and only then will we see the strength of God at work in our life. He said, my strength is made perfect in weakness. That word perfect again means lacking nothing. How many of you want God's strength to be lacking nothing in your life? It only comes through you making yourself weak before God, you making yourself low before God. He said, Paul's response is not, well, Peter didn't have to do this. His response is, well, you know, the people over there don't have to do this. He wasn't complaining about other people. He wasn't complaining to God. He said this. He said, most gladly, therefore, will I rather glory in my infirmities, that the power of Christ may rest upon me. Therefore, I take pleasure. Listen to that. I take pleasure in infirmities, in reproaches, in necessities, in persecutions, in distresses for Christ's sake. For when I am weak, then I am strong. These things God uses to get us to a point to where we get on our knees. And I'm telling you, the spiritual transformation that God desires to do in you happens when you get on your knees. And Paul here, he said, you know what? This thing, he said, I'm glad about now, because it's keeping me at a place to where I'm weak and God is strong. It's keeping me at a place to where I'm dependent on the work of the Holy Spirit. It's keeping me in a place to where I'm humbled before God and the Spirit of God comes upon me. And God then equips Paul to do the things that he's called him to do. I'm telling you, we need God like never before in our generation. We're facing deception like we've never seen. We're facing depression like we've never seen. There's fear-mongering out there. There's war-mongering out there. The spirit of the Antichrist is at work in the world today. And people are giving up hope, but not God's people. God is instructing you in righteousness. God is correcting you. He's reproving you. He's perfecting you into the child of God that he's called you to be. And in order to do that, you've got to keep yourself low. Keep yourself weak before God. Pray and let the Spirit of God come upon you. Amen? Amen. How many of you want to be perfected by the hand of God? How many of you want to be perfected by the hand of God? Lord, do what you need to do in me. Lord, do what you need to do in me. Amen? He's the Father. We're the child. He sees what we don't. He knows what we don't. Amen? And he can do what we can't. He can do what we can't. Is there a situation on your heart tonight? How many of you want a particular situation to change? How many of you know you can't change it? He can do what we can't. Amen. Amen. I want you to bring your thing. I want you to bring your thing. Say, Lord, this thing's above my pay grade. This thing's above my ability. You know, maybe tonight, and I'm going to close right here, but I just want to say this. Maybe tonight there's guilt from your past that you can't get past. If there's guilt from your past that you can't get past, I want you to know that the enemy is wearing you out with that. And only God can speak to your life. Only God can speak to your life. Cleansed, forgiven, new. Only God can do that. A person can tell you from the outside, but until you hear it by the Spirit of God, you'll always carry that baggage, you'll always carry that shame, and the devil will always wear you out. But if you'll hear the voice of God say, forgiven, cleansed, amen? If you'll hear the Spirit of God, and what I'm telling you tonight is that you may be here tonight and you may be having something like that, that something that's been wearing you out. There are others in here, you have a situation. There's a person in your life that you want to see them be saved. You want to see them be set free. Amen. How many of you know that that's above your pay grade? But that's God's specialty. It's God's specialty. God specializes in changing folks. God specializes in changing folks. And if we'll humble ourselves and make ourselves weak before God, let God do through us all that He desires to do. But this evening, I want you to bring these situations to the Lord. Amen? Amen. Father, we thank You for this evening, this opportunity to hear the Word of God. I thank You for each and every person here tonight. And Lord, we ask that You would perfect the things concerning us. You know the issues of our life. You know the loved ones on our heart. You know the trials that we face. You know the problems that we have. But Lord, I thank You so much for that passage in Psalm 138. You said that if we would make ourselves low, that You would perfect the things concerning us. You personalize Your help. You personalize Your help. Lord, we thank You for that tonight. There's some people in here tonight, God, that need some personalized help. They may not want to tell their neighbor what they need help over, but Lord, You said You would perfect the things concerning us. Holy Spirit, we ask tonight that You would search us. And the places where we're lacking, the places where we're lacking, I'm asking tonight, Lord, that You would make the difference. That You would make the difference. If you're here tonight and the Lord is dealing with you, or maybe there's a part of this message that spoke to you and you just want prayer right where you're seated, I want to pray for you. If you would lift your hand, I want to pray for you right where you're at. Thank You, 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 thank You. Anyone else? Thank You. Thank You. Heavenly Father, You see the hands lifted this evening. Lord, we thank You for the work of the Holy Spirit in our lives. Lord, we acknowledge that You and only You have the power and the ability to change things. And Lord, we're asking tonight for that spiritual transformation to take place, that You would mold and make us into the men and women You've called us to be. We pray, God, that You would start with us as we humble ourselves before You. I thank You for each and every person here tonight, God, in Jesus' name. In Jesus' name. And we thank You for praying with us tonight. And we're going to open up our altars right now. We believe in altars. We believe in the power of God. We're Pentecostal. We believe that God still works miracles and signs and wonders. But I want to tell you right now, these altars are a place where you can come and lay down your burden before God. We call it have a little talk with Jesus. It's a time where you can have a come to Jesus meeting. And I want you to know that these altars are a place where you can come to Jesus and lay down your burden at His feet. He's your high priest. We're going to open up these altars right now. Whosoever will, come. In Jesus' name.